What?
When?
Why?
I am curious.
I'm Michigan Radio's Sarah Hewlett, and our Am I Curious project is a news experiment where you submit the questions, they get put up for a vote, and we investigate the winning question.
I'm Philip Zoutendam, and I want to know more about the Mormon kingdom that was once established on Beaver Island and how, if at all, it affects life on the island today.
Now, if you're a reporter and you get a chance to do a story about murder, intrigue, and a guy believed to be the only king in the United States, you volunteer. I was only vaguely familiar with the story of James Strang, the Mormon king of Beaver Island, before I took the assignment. Turns out I'm not the only one who didn't know a whole lot about King Strang. Beaver Island is a two-hour ferry ride west of Charlevoix in northern Lake Michigan. It docks right in the heart of St. James. And that's where I looked for some other first-time visitors. And I asked them.
Before you came here, what did you know, what if anything, did you know about the Mormon kingdom?
Absolutely nothing.
Oh, nothing. Absolutely nothing.
I didn't know there were Mormon kingdoms.
It was an odd, unusual little chapter in American history in the mid-19th century and in Midwestern history.
This is Rob Cole. He's an amateur historian born and raised on Beaver Island.
We're standing on the site of the assassination of James Strang, who was called King Strang, a self-appointed monarch of Beaver Island in the 1850s. And for some time, some period of time, that claim was not contested by the state and federal government.
Let's back up here for just a minute and get some of the backstory. In 1844, a mob in Illinois killed the founder of the Mormon faith, Joseph Smith. Then there was a succession crisis. A handful of people all claimed they were the rightful leader of the church. Brigham Young, of course, was one of them. He led his followers to Salt Lake City. James Strang was another. And in 1847, he moved his disciples to Beaver Island.
So now we're on King's Highway, which is the longest paved road on the island. There aren't many paved roads here.
Strang's followers built the road with timber they cut on the island. They started digging a canal at the south end of the island, and they built homes and businesses, including a print shop. You can visit that building today. The Beaver Island Historical Society bought it and runs it as a museum. Joyce Bartels gave me a tour.
This is where they had their printing press, where they printed their newspaper, the Northern Islander. This here's an article written by Eben Harris.
And if Strang's resume wasn't already impressive, newspaper publisher, prophet, revelator, monarch, he also got elected to the Michigan legislature. But it wasn't exactly all smooth sailing. Strang clashed with the non-Mormons on the island. He was a polygamist. That was controversial. The church was accused of seizing property. Strang said it was for consecration. And it turns out declaring yourself king doesn't really sit well with the U.S. government. Here's Joyce Bartels again.
He and several other men were arrested for treason, taken to Detroit for trial, but they conducted their own defense. Strang was a very charismatic speaker, apparently, and they were acquitted.
That was 1850. A naval ship, the USS Michigan, brought Strang to Detroit for the trial. That same ship would return to the harbor at Beaver Island 6 years later. The story goes that Strang was invited to join the captain on the ship for dinner. As he walked down the dock, two men shot him in the back and in the head. Historian Rob Cole says it's not clear just how involved the U.S. government was in the attack on Strang, but the two assailants were whisked away on the USS Michigan, and they were never charged with a crime. And Cole says there's a lot more that's unclear about Strang's time on the island. By some accounts, he was a tyrant with delusions of grandeur. By others, he was a magnetic leader who was ahead of his time.
So there's lots of gaps and shadows and mysteries about it, but the general narrative is one of a culture clash and autocratic religious leader and a struggle for identity and supremacy and sovereignty in a way in the middle of the Midwest in the mid-19th century.
Strang died of his injuries in Wisconsin a few weeks after the attack. About 200 Mormons left the island when he did, and a mob drove the rest of Strang's followers off the island a couple weeks after that. They burned the tabernacle and Mormon homes and forced people onto boats with just the clothes they were wearing. But descendants of those families do make pilgrimages to the island.
It's common for them to go to the island, probably quietly.
John Hayacek is a Mormon historian who's working on a book about Strang.
I don't know that everyone gets off the boat and makes an announcement. History is religious faith. They're more curious about where the Mormons lived and how they lived on the island.
Hayacek says the stories about Strang that hold the widest appeal focus on the sex and power and greed. But he says Strang was an abolitionist, a feminist, and an environmentalist. And he thinks his ideas deserve a closer look. I ask Hayacek to imagine what Beaver Island might look like today if Strang had survived.
Oh, I think it's better. A better question is, what would all of northern Michigan look like? Because James Strang was settling people on the mainland, too, not just the island. And there was very rapid growth right then in 1856 for his movement.
Hayacek says maybe Beaver Island would look like Manhattan West or a Salt Lake City East. For Stateside, I'm Sarah Hewlett.